Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Let's move on now for the moment, because the European Parliament has approved what's claimed as a major plan to protect nature and fight climate change. MEPs supported the general outline of the European Commission Nature Restoration Law proposals. 336 votes in favour, 300 against. There were 13 abstentions in this vote. MEPs and other member states will now negotiate the final text, aiming for a deal before the EU Parliament elections in 2024. I'm going to ask my next guest if that is actually a tall order, an agreement on that text. Green Party MEP Ciarán Cuff is on the line with me now. You're very welcome, Ciarán, to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Firstly, it survives. It wasn't voted down. It's not gone down a deep, dark hole that we'll never see this provision again. But some people are saying it's not the bill or the proposal that it started out as.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bittersweet victory. A lot of the key proposals in the draft law have been weakened or taken out altogether. But there are very positive proposals in it. We voted in favour of a standalone EU fund for nature restoration measures, which is positive. It aims to restore damaged habitats and ecosystems to bring them back to a favourable status. But a lot of the targets on rewetting were deleted. But from an Irish perspective, they're still there in the Climate Action Plan. So action on peatlands will be needed to reach the restoration targets. But there is some good news there.
So does a concern that was raised by some farming organisations and others as well when this debate was going on over the last number of weeks, that it may not be just voluntary in terms of landowners putting their name forward for rewetting and restoration. Could there be a compulsory element to this as well?
Not as far as I know. And I think this has been part of the misinformation that was put out by some people around the bill. I think Minister Eamon Ryan made it very clear that there will be no compulsory rewetting. And in fact, he said, look, it's a brilliant opportunity for Bordnamona, for Caolte, and in particular for Bordnamona with cutaway boglands to engage in
rewetting. Yeah, but the word voluntary wasn't there,
which
to,
in some instances
to reassure private landowners
actually
and farmers.
Flooding bogland, but in many instances it's simply raising the water table and the land can still be used for productive productive purposes, whether it be cattle or tillage.
My question, Ciarán, and that's all great on state land, if that's what state agencies want to do, and it helps us meet our climate targets in terms of habitat protection and biodiversity and so on. I don't think anybody in the country, including farmers, for example, who had concerns here, would have a problem with that. They had a problem with the absence of the word voluntary in terms of reaching targets here and lands that would be handed over for this purpose. And I just want clarity in terms of what was passed today in terms of that.
There are no compulsory measures in what was agreed today. And what was agreed today was, in fact, a watered-down version of what originally the text that originally came to the Parliament from the European Commission. So I don't see any evidence of any compulsory action on private landowners. Mm-hmm. In terms of the process going forward, now that we have a Parliament approved text, we go into the trialogue where the Council, the Commission and the Parliament's representatives sit down in a room and thrash out a final deal. And I think there will be room on both sides to accommodate any concerns that have come up in discussions and negotiations and indeed on the airwaves to date. So I would be quite positive about what can be achieved. And really, you know, with record temperatures being broken around the world, I think we have to take action, and business as usual is not an option. And that's what the Citizens' Assembly on Biodiversity Law said, and it's what our government in Ireland has committed to. So I think at a European level, We will see action. And I think any government knows it has to work with people. It has to work with farming communities. And I think that's exactly what is happening and what will continue to happen in Ireland.
And I think everybody's behind the aspiration until you get down to the detail. And that's why I had reservations about the various parties working out the detail of the text here before the European Parliament elections next year. I mean, this binding aim by 2030 to cover at least 20% of the region's land and sea areas. I just wonder if that's possible to work that out in the text and to delineate or find the lands on a voluntary basis to do that.
Well, my understanding is that that figure did not make it into the final text. There was another figure of 30% of the degraded lands being included, and I haven't got through fully the debrief on the dozens of different votes that we had earlier today. But my understanding is that the ambition has been significantly reduced, mm-hmm. which is a matter of concern, certainly from an Irish perspective, because we're seeing the impact of policies that have polluted our rivers and streams. We're seeing the impact in the kind of flash flooding that we've seen in recent years. So we do have to take action on this, not just in Ireland, but in Scandinavia, in the south, in countries like Spain, where we're seeing record temperatures and flash flooding.
Where do you lay the blame for the watered-down version of the proposal? And the lack of conviction? Because what I'm hearing from you really is that this is great that it's passed, but this shell of a bill or shell of a proposal is passed, but it's certainly not enough to help fight climate change and protect biodiversity and protect species that are at grave risk and protect the heating of the planet and so on, and food security and all of the other major issues that flow from this. You're saying it's not enough. Who do you lay responsibility for? Whose door?
I would lay the blame at Conservative and far-right forces within the Parliament. So that would include the European People's Party, ID, ECR, these groups that are on the far right. Now, when it comes down to it, I was very pleased that my Irish colleagues from EPP, in other words, from Fine Gael, voted in favour of a nature restoration law. But sadly, their colleagues within the European People's Party, almost all of them did not. And the Irish were the exception rather than the rule within the EPP. But I think the further right you go, the more disinformation you find about this legislation. And you'll find climate denial and climate obstruction in their tactics, which I think is just really worrying, because this summer we've seen record sea temperatures, record wild fires, record loss of ice. We're seeing records being broken every second day. In fact, I think 5 days last week saw record temperatures being broken for global temperatures.
Yeah.
This is happening. This is a climate breakdown happening in real time.
I understand that, but are we in any position? Are we in any position? Are you in any position to cast stones here by embarrassing them or shaming them or criticizing them for not having enough conviction and saying we'll miss targets on climate change and so on? When the Green Party at home is in government, and we're missing our own environmental targets left, right and centre.
Well, I think it's not for lack of ambition from the Green Party's side. And I think any government involves compromise. Certainly from a Green perspective, we want to go faster and further. And I think the nature of coalitions is that you have to find the common denominator between all groups.
Who's slowing it down then? Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or both?
To be honest, I think it's the two parties that we're in government with do not share the same level of ambition on what needs to be done. And look, I see that at a European level as well. It's unfortunate that EPP, almost all of them, voted against the nature law. Renew Europe, with which Fianna Fáil is associated, was much more mixed in terms of their vote. But look, we can argue the politics of who voted in what way. I think the important thing is to move forward. And I think the lesson from Ireland is that if we want climate action to take place, we need to build a broad coalition. It doesn't move us as fast as we need to go, but it does move us in the right direction. And I think it's very easy to be a hurler on the ditch and say, look, we need to go 10 times the pace. But to engage in government inevitably means a slowing down.
And bringing people
and
along.
I'm very
I'm sure Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will accuse you and the Greens of a lack of practicality in terms of working with the public as well. But look, that's for another day. That's another discussion. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but that's what they would say. I know that for sure. But we will have that conversation for sure because this will come up again. Ciarán Cuff, MEP with the Green Party. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.